Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we are really, really glad to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a terrific show for you, as long as we can maintain the connection. We're going to be talking with Doug as part of our Doug and Dave Intel Report. That's Doug Thornton, former Marine military contractor and DHS agent. And we're going to be talking about a variety of topics. He's on the road right now, headed towards, shall we say, a gun education, gun demonstration class, and I'm sure the feds will be watching from aerial surveillance. Before we go to Doug, though, and have him talk about that, and then we've got some breaking news I want to bring up to Doug. Let's just say this, folks. Every day I come back and say the same thing. The noose around the food supply is tightening. Go to preparewithdave.com. You've heard me say all the details, 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day, haven't raised prices, restaurant quality, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you know all that, okay? Just do it. Do it right now. Do it. Preparewithdave.com, because you cannot depend on your neighbor. You can't depend on the government. You've got to do this for yourself because the shortages are coming, unless, of course, you like to eat bugs. Also, too, grid down. Grid down, grid down. The grid is coming down. Someone's going to take it down. If it's the government and roving blackouts, no one says how long they're going to last. No one says if terrorists are going to get to us. They're threatening us. Hey, do you want to be able to have water? If the grid goes down for very long, you will not. So you'll have to scavenge. This is why you need water filtration. The Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter is number one in its class. And you can check that out by going to waterwithdave.com. And they, too, have not raised prices. They, too, have a sale in effect. And supplies are limited on this. Supplies are really limited. But this is the best water filter. You'll be able to scavenge from runoff ponds, you name it, waterwithdave.com. And then finally, if we're going to suffer, and that's what we're doing, you may as well suffer in some comfort. The people at MyPillow want to help you also, too. They've got a new line of products, including Mike Lindell's new coffee. But I like the bed sheets, the pillow casings. We have all that. And it's all right now for our audience only. Half price, 2-for-1. Go to mystore.com, coupon code Hodges. Mystore.com, coupon code Hodges. And it's just a different location we're sending you to than we normally do, because they've got a short time special set up there just for our audience. Okay, well, that takes care of our sponsors for the show. Thank you so much for them. And we try to bring you stuff that you know you're going to need. And Doug, you're headed to a conference. Tell me about the conference that I wish I could go to but can't fly because of medical restrictions. What's going on?
Well, Dave, thanks for having me on. And I apologize already, everybody, if you hear any road noise. I have been packing all day and night to get out to Teleco Plains, and we are headed out to Ready Made Resources home base, which is Robert Griswold. Dave, we're going to be putting on an active shooter course, and myself and Jamie Walden are going to be there. Jamie is a guest instructor for me, and we are going to be teaching people how to prepare, not how to become an insurgent, not how to become a militia member, not how to have an insurrection against the government. We are against all that. We don't, you know, we don't prescribe to that theory. We're here for self-preservation, self-defense, and community preparedness. And this course is going to cover a wide range of things that most people don't get in a one-day, two-day, three-day course. Now, we'll say this. There are a lot of really good instructors out there. There's a lot of really good gun classes that are out there. What we're teaching people, Dave, is I'm using my experience from law enforcement and Jamie's experience from law enforcement and both of our experiences of being in combat while deployed for the Marine Corps. We're going to teach people, Dave, what we know, the little tips of the trade, the little things to be looking at. You know, I don't know how many people have ever gone through a door with a gun. But if you've never done it before and you trip and fall through that door, there's a reason why they call it the fatal funnel. The doors, the hallways, that's where most people get shot at. They're bullet magnets. So we're going to be teaching people, if you ever have someone who breaks into your house, You, after coming to this course, are going to be comfortable with defending your castle. That's the point of this. And it could be your buddies. You could be staying at someone else's house, you know, if somebody breaks in, and you would be the defender. This applies across the board. Look at what happened in Mumbai, India, back in 2005. You had, I think it's about five or six different terror groups that attacked Mumbai, India, over a course of 3 days. 3 days. And you know who they were targeting? They were targeting foreigners. They were targeting English-speaking people, especially Americans. And you never looked at what happened in Mumbai, India, and how devastating that attack was, and how unprepared the law enforcement in India was for this attack. You will understand that to be prepared means more than to just go out and buy guns and bullets, more than just going out and buying the cool guy gear. You got to get the training. And if it's not done by me, then find somebody. But the elements of my training is going to teach people what to look for, how to survive, and how to get out of a situation. Nobody wants to stay in a sustained gunfight with anybody. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the everyday person. And honestly, David, it can really be for any event. You know, this could very much as well benefit somebody from a home invasion to being an active shooter in the mall, like in South Carolina with the gentleman who shot the active shooter from 40 yards away and hit the guy, I think, 8 out of 10 times. You know, I can't get most cops to make that type of a shot. This guy had very little training, but he was persistent with what he was doing, and he was persistent, Dave, with staying alive. There's three things that you're taught with an active shooter: run, hide, and fight. You have three options. You may not be given the option that you want. That's why I strongly recommend people to carry a firearm legally. I do mean legally. I do suggest people to carry concealed. Weapons are meant to be felt. They're not always meant to be seen. And I do suggest that people get a concealed carry insurance. White Settlement, Texas. There was an active shooter that happened there about 3 years ago. And the gentleman who stopped the active shooter, Dave, after the other church security member was killed, this elderly gentleman shot the shooter, killed him, one shot, but it didn't stop there. That man was sued by three different people within the church, was sued by the city of White Settlement. They arrested him. They charged him with murder. And he is probably close to $1 million in court fees, but hasn't paid a dime of it yet. That is why, and I don't care what insurance it is that you pick, call around, get the best price for yourself. But having something like this can literally not bankrupt you. Who in the hell can afford $1 million or more? And when I actually talked to one of the attorneys who represents them, they said that more than likely, this may get up to almost $2 to $5 million in court fees and legal fees. And he ain't paying any of it, Dave. Could you imagine if you just are defending the other people in your church and you're going to be prosecuted? You're going to be sued by even other people in the church. So understand, we live in a crazy world. It's not going to get any better. And if it does get better, the random acts of violence are not going away. In fact, they are continuing to arise. I don't know if you've seen this lately, Dave, but in Portland, Oregon, my most favorite place in America, there was recently a huge crowd of people from Antifa that were out in the middle of an interstate, possibly. They had shut down the road. They're idiots were out there doing donuts and setting stuff on fire. And then an elderly man in a white van tried to get through the crowd. The crowd went after him. And then, randomly, a man comes out of nowhere and starts firing into the van with a pistol. This elderly gentleman had to escape with his life, and I'm not sure if he survived or not, because this only just recently happened within a couple of days ago. And to watch the video, I'll send you the video of it. It's very short. Andy Ngo, the undercover journalist who exposed almost everything that you could think of about Antifa, he was the one who was filming this. So it's on Andy Ngo's YouTube channel if anyone wants to watch it. Okay. It should be the latest video you just pushed out. Dave, put yourself in this person's shoes, man. If you have to flee, as we used to say in the military, get off the X. Do you know how to do it? Do you know how to stay cool, calm, and collective? With what me and Jamie are putting on, this is more than just, you know, the gun trade. We're teaching people how to think, how to think through situations, how to communicate, how to de-escalate, how to use situational awareness. And not only that, but to teach people the difference between the sheep mindset and the wolf mindset. It's about time Americans get out of the sheep mindset and you start acting predatory yourself. I'll tell you one thing that criminals hate. Criminals love, and I mean absolutely love, the big, fat, donut-eating cops who aren't going to chase them, who are going to let anything slide, and they prey upon those people. What criminals don't like is a vigilant man or woman who's always looking for them, who's always looking for the bad guy. Bad guys avoid those people. Situational awareness is one of the best self-defenses that you can employ, and it's absolutely free. Just use the good old M1 eyeball and looking out for people and using common sense. And, you know, being a little bit intimidating doesn't hurt every now and then. You know, and this can go for anybody. I've had people, Dave, who've contacted me that are women that are in their elder 70s. They say, Doug, I don't like guns. What am I supposed to do? My husband won't let me have a gun. I want one. And I tell them, there is no other equal opportunity weapon like a firearm. A knife won't compare to a firearm. A bat, a stick, your fist, a big rock, it doesn't compare to a firearm. We're getting into a state in America now, Dave, where people need to think about self-preservation and their families' self-preservation. And since our founding fathers back in the 1700s, when they thought about self-preservation, they tried protesting, Dave. They tried addressing their grievances to the courts, to the king. That never happened. They took up arms, but they found one thing with taking up arms. You got to have training. You have to be well-trained if you're going to use a firearm. And my active shooter PowerPoint that I'm going to be putting on, which is the first series of the course, I'm going over a history of active shooters, terrorist attacks, domestic terrorist attacks. It provides explosive devices and suspicious packages, identification. We're talking about things that people didn't notice at the Boston bombing. I'm going to be teaching people how to look for it. We're talking about things like the Austin serial bomber who didn't see the suspiciousness of the packages that were placed at their places of residence. I'm going to be teaching people what to be looking for. This is training you almost can't get anywhere else. And it's because myself, Jamie Walden, Robert Griswold, and another guest instructor that we're going to have, who is a former Special Forces 18 Delta medic. And when I say, you know, medic, I'm talking about this guy is literally a doctor on the combat field. If you got a laceration, if you got disemboweled, if you got some of the worst things you could think of, that's the man that you want with his hands inside you, keeping you alive. We are putting together a team of guys to get Americans prepared for what's coming. Because I'm telling you, Dave, civil war is coming.
Oh, yeah, I know, and I don't want it. I like my life the way it is, although I wish our government was different. But I have to say, I can't ignore what's coming. As we like to say, what's coming is no longer coming. It's already here. Boy. You just said a mouthful. Now, when does this course commence?
So it's going to start 9 a.m. Friday, and then it will end Sunday evening. This is a three-day course, 12 hours a day. I'm more or less putting people through a basic training within law enforcement. I'm teaching you, tips and tools of the trade. One of the things that's always vexed me is that law enforcement never works with civilians. Now, I'm just as guilty for that. But I see the error in that now. And I think that it's a little bit hubris for law enforcement to keep these type of skills, these survival skills, to themselves and not teach other people what it is that we know. You know, with most of these active shooters or most of these, you know, violent gun crimes, law enforcement is almost never the last victim. You know, law enforcement always engages in this little, you know, you can get shot, you can get, you know, stabbed, there's the fights that happen, but that's because we directly insert ourselves into the violence. But you as the civilian, what do you do when you see the active shooter happening and law enforcement comes? Most people don't even know what to do. That's another thing that I'm going to be teaching people, how to survive that, because the last thing you want to do is, during the middle of a big old gunfight happening in a mall, is be, you know, the patriot that comes up with his concealed carry and is in the direction of law enforcement, and they don't know who you are. You know, it's one of those times where, unfortunately, some people can get shot and killed because law enforcement doesn't know if you're the shooter or what. You know, so it's an old saying within what we used to do. And I was a uniformed police officer. So, you know, between our special agents who are undercover, who are plain clothes, if there's ever a big terrorist attack, if there's ever a big, shooting, mass shooting that occurs, plain clothes guys always take the back seat and uniform guys always take the front line. And that's mainly because if we're all in our uniform, we know who's who for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you show up and you're just, you know, in your khakis and polo, and then you pull your gun out, man, I don't know who you are. You know, and this is to be fair. I would probably put anyone who appeared like that, special agent or not, straight on the ground. I can sort you out later. You know, but that's the problem with this type of work. It's a rapidly evolving, ever changing, dynamic scenario. I mean, you can go from an active shooter to a barricaded suspect to then a hostage negotiation, which is almost kind of, you know, like what happened with Uvalde. And the miscommunication that happens is the other part that gets people in a lot of trouble in law enforcement and in the civilian world. Miscommunication, not knowing what's going on. So these are the things that we're going to be teaching people, how to think through the situation with a gun in your hand if you are presented to be the only good guy with the gun. That's another thing that we'll be teaching people. I mean, this, man, I can go on and on. This is going to be probably some of the best training that these people are ever going to get. And we're lucky enough to have two local SRT team guys. It's a special response team, kind of like what I was on. They're going to be out there. They're going to be getting the training from us. And it's a really good way for, you know, iron sharpening iron. Law enforcement can never be trained enough. There's never a point in time where you reach a pinnacle of training and you stop and you say, okay, I'm good, I can't learn anymore. Law enforcement should be consecutively training every week with their firearms, with their defensive tactics, with searching out people and putting their hands on people. Law enforcement can't get enough of that training. And this is one of the things I'm trying to do, Dave. I'm trying to bridge the gap and teach everybody so that if something happens and you have to assist with law enforcement, or if something happens and law enforcement comes to your aid, at least both parties now know what to expect.
Okay. Well, I think that's really good to know. See, the problem is we're airing this show, and we've had stuff out on this before, but we're airing this show Thursday afternoon, and you start Friday. I suppose if people are within a couple hours drive, they can make it. What do people pay for the training, and what do they get?
So it's a $600 fee, which is split between myself and Jamie. $50, $650 total. $50 will go to the utilities that's there for the ready-made resources. We're having to run generators and redo a road that'll be out there. There's going to be a camping ground out there. So after all the training is done with, there's going to be a huge roundtable discussion, and we're going to sit there and answer questions. let people get their hands on the type of gear that me and Jamie use. That's another thing people don't understand. They don't know a lot of times what is good gear. What is a good plate carrier? What is a good helmet? Heck, what's a good flashlight? So that's one thing that we're going to be able to show people. You know, there's going to be a little bit of a survival expose in this. We're going to be teaching actually quite a bit of medical training, self-aid, buddy aid, putting on tourniquets, pressure bandages, stopping the bleeding. And I want to say this for any law enforcement that is out there that's listening to us. You should know this already, but for the civilians, this goes for you as well. During the course of an active shooter, one of the hardest things for people to process is even if you're injured, why does law enforcement not come directly to my aid? And here's the simple reason why. The best medicine during an active shooter, during an active killing, is to stop the killer, either detaining him or killing him. All right, that's the best medicine. We have to stop the threat of violence first. And that means sometimes we have to walk over your body while you're bleeding. The way the law enforcement should be doing this, and it's, you know, Uvalde is a big, big black eye on everybody, man. And you know how many times me and you've got in some, I don't want to say heated debates, but I was heated. You know, I wanted to flip my desk over whenever I saw what happened in Uvalde, just because I see it as a huge training problem and a lack of communication problem. But the way this goes is before Columbine happened in Littleton, Colorado, law enforcement would show up to a mass shooting, to a mass killing, or, you know, an active shooter, something of that route. And law enforcement would create a cordon, which is a external perimeter around the scene, not letting anybody out, not letting anybody in. And then they would call for the special tactics teams like what I was on. And, you know, here's the problem with that is that you have guys that are on vacation, guys that are on sick leave, guys that work night shift and day shift and swing shift. So you got to pool all these guys together. Then they have to show up at wherever it is that their rallying point is. Then they got to get dressed. And they got to get briefed, and then they got to get in their vehicles and move to the scene of the crime. That could take an hour. That could take 2 or 3 hours, depending on what's happening. God forbid. But can happen in 5 minutes, mm-hmm. let alone an hour. So the way that we are trained now, post-Columbine, is we have what's called Immediate Action Rapid Deployment, IARD. And since 2008, law enforcement officers were supposed to be trained to a certain level where they were actually expected to have long rifles, their duty pistol, and a ballistic shield on them to deploy themselves without waiting on anybody to the scene of the crime, to the shooting, to the killing. Here's the problem. Funding. Law enforcement never gets the funding that it needs. Never. And I mean never. Whenever we were asking for certain weapons, for chemical munitions, for riots during 2020 and 2021, 2019, we were denied left and right by our own agency. And, man, I worked for the federal government. We got the money. It's not that we don't. But they said, well, we need new radios. We need new this. We need to hire, you know, 20 more GS-15s to sit around and sharpen pencils and tell each other how awesome they are. And instead of diverting the funding to training into proper gear, which will then bolster, hopefully, the bravery of the officers who are going to be putting themselves in harm's way, all of that funding gets squandered. It gets sent in every other direction. And from a small police department to the state police department, the sheriffs, the locals, to the federal government, every single one of them do that. You could probably go to your local law enforcement right now as he drives by and just ask, hey, just a simple question. Do you have a ballistic shield, ballistic helmet, and a plate carrier? See how many of them tell you no. Or, better yet, see how many of them tell you yes, and then ask, did you pay for it yourself? Because just like me and most of the guys on my team, we paid for all of our own equipment. But they can send $80 billion to Ukraine, but they can't properly fund law enforcement. So you know what happens? Hey, man, people don't go through the door. People don't go through the door because a 556 or 223 that comes screaming out of the barrel will pierce straight through law enforcement body armor. And a lot of times on level 3 ballistic shields, it'll go straight through that ballistic shield, right through your body armor, and now you're just another casualty. That messes with people's psyche. And, you know, here's the problem. A lot of people say, well, you're a cop. You signed the dotted line. And I've said that before. I understand it. But not everybody's trained to the certain standard. Not everybody thinks the same way in that warrior mindset, Dave. Some people are cops just to be cops. Some people are cops and they're literal warriors, and this is what they live for. And you see the difference. You see the difference when you see the tactical guy who's in shape, and then you see, you know, Barney Fife. You'll see, I met those guys. And we always knew when something happens, this guy is going to be a liability. And we said it to our supervisors. This guy's a liability. He can't even pass the qualification, the simple pistol qualification half the time. And nobody gets on to him. There's never any training for it. Oh, well, he passed it with bare minimum. I mean, you know, Dave, in the realms of psychology, do you want the best of the best, or do you want the bare minimum guy to see someone who's having psychological problems? You know, it's a battle that we're losing.
Well, yeah, and I'm letting that question pause just so people can reflect for a minute. It's the reality that's being created is causing us to lose the battle, because unfortunately too many people in the population believe the last thing they hear, which is all the nonsense, trash, and lies in the mainstream media. I mean, the New York Times, I'll just give you an example on the affidavit. They said, oh yeah, there's 300 violations of national security documents by Trump. How do they know that? How do they know that? Well, did the DOJ tip them off? Well, that's a felony. Because that's an ongoing investigation. That's a felony. Yet Merrick Garland turned around today and told the DOJ, you may not talk to Congress. I don't even know how that's legal. Doug, when you were at DHS, could the DHS director have told you that and made it stick?
If you get caught upon the red carpet, you're going. And in my position, one of the main jobs that we did, I wore many hats when I was in DHS, and I loved my career. I loved the guys that I worked with, even a lot of the supervisors, great patriotic people. But once you start to climb to the tippy top, Dave, there is rotten fruit that just won't drop from that tree.
Yeah,
and it ruins everything from the top bottom, man. And you know, with what I used to do, especially with physical security, let's say like what happened in the consulate in Libya, when that installation was attacked, somebody had wrote a physical security threat assessment report, and anything that was a countermeasure that could prevent it, any type of attack, was then scrutinized by Congress, and then the designated official, the lead government official who's in charge of the installation, who is the approving official for those countermeasures, like cameras, better gates, or guards, alarms, concrete stanchions, bullet-resistant glass or walls, anything that was not approved then gets reviewed by Congress. The active shooter that we happened in Dallas at 1100 Commerce at the federal courthouse a couple years ago, my friend who actually was involved in that, he did the physical security assessment for that building, was called to the red carpet. And guess what he had to do? He had to explain why the countermeasures that failed were not put through, were not funded. And you know what he got to do? I gave the recommendations. I wrote it up as a subject matter expert on physical security for the federal government. It was this political appointee who said, no, we don't need the funding. But you know what Congress won't do? Congress won't then go around and look at where the funding is for this department and what they used it for. Because a lot of times, it's to buy new desk lamps and new chairs and new carpet every 2 years. We waste so much money. I can't believe, and I'll be honest with you, I can't believe the amount of money in the federal government that we waste. That's our tax dollars going nowhere. It's not to the protection that you think. Why do you think you can't keep people on the border? Border Patrol is probably one of the most important law enforcement positions that we have in the United States, and we can't keep people employed because they won't stay there. They don't get the training. They don't get the gear. They don't get the protective equipment. We're coming across people every day with tuberculosis, which, by the way, is now, I think it's in Chicago, there's an outbreak of tuberculosis. Hey, get this. We have people coming across the border that we knew had polio. We were in contact with them, and they had the polio-resistant virus. Guess what now is found in the water source up in New York? Polio.
Yeah, this is not by accident either. That Jean-Pierre, press secretary yesterday, she was asked by Fox News' Peter Ducey, can you tell me how you can keep out the world's best tennis player because he's not vaccinated, but yet you're letting thousands of illegal immigrants cross the border every day? And here's what she said. There's no one crossing the border. It doesn't happen like that.
Well, you know, there's willful ignorance.
No, it's not. And then there's it's not ignorance.
There's a difference between willful ignorance and being ignorant to a situation because you're not there, and then knowing every single thing that's happening because you're in the presidential morning brief and just ignoring it. They know what's on the border, Dave. And there are things crossing that border that's way worse than a family who's just trying to escape whatever hellhole they came from and trying to find freedom in America. My heart's out for those people. Mm-hmm. I want those people in this country. We need those people in this country. All right? Now, there's a lot of people who are, you know, very racist to that. There are a lot of people who don't like all the illegals coming over. I don't like the process, but I would never deny someone coming into this country who wants...
Hey, we're back. A little technical difficulty here, and we're speaking with Doug Thornton here in the Doug and Dave Intel Report. He's on the road. So you're going to hear a little background information, or noise, I should say, and interference, but we'll deal with it as best we can. Doug, we got cut off, but I wanted to ask you before we leave the conference situation. That's a full three-day event. It's not divided up into 3 one-day events. Is that right?
Oh, that's right. It's 3 days, 12 hours a day, and then, you know, there's the after-hour stuff. I mean, this is, you know, we're getting into information and the ability to have instructor teach back on a level that typically you only get within law enforcement and the military. There's a tremendous amount that's going to be going on here. And you know, one thing I want to say is that with the way that we're doing this training, there's a tremendous amount of one-on-one instructor training. And Dave, you know me, man. I don't beat my chest and you know, try to look like some horse of a drill instructor. I'm very personable. I don't yell at people because people don't train well under that type of environment. If people don't listen, they don't learn. So, you know, I'm a very hands-on guy. I love explaining all the stuff that I know. It's one reason why I did it for free for so many years with various church security teams. You know, this is truly a passion of mine. If ever there was a ministry for Doug Thornton, it was the ability to sit here and teach people how to defend the flock.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Will there be a DVD available?
So, our friend Tony Barada of Heroes Nation is actually going to be there filming. We're going to be doing interviews, and he's going to be filming the course. So I believe if there is going to be one, then it'll be exclusive to the Heroes Nation.
Okay, so people can go to that app and see Tony's report on the conference, correct?
Correct.
Okay, all right, well, that's good to know. So people will be able to at least touch bases that way. You know, if you can't attend, and let's give them a number in case someone's in the region and they can attend. Where could they call and sign up?
Just call, go to readymaderesources.com and call the number that's there for Bob.
Yeah.
And they'll put you in contact with all of us. We're going to be hosting this program at least 4 or 5 times. I'm getting to where the point where I'm going to be traveling and giving this training as well. We already have a group in Wyoming that are reaching out to us wanting this training. It's very sought after, and not very many people do it.
Yeah, I'm going to give out that number here for Ready Made Resources if you want to reach out and you're in the area and say, you know, this is really something I need to be doing. That number is 1-800-827-3809. That's 1-800-387. It just dropped off my screen. Can you believe that? Okay, here we go. 1-800-627-3809. 1-800-627-3809. Man, I wish I could be there, but you know, I got this stupid restriction that I can't go over 3,000 feet because of my eye surgery. I still have that ridiculous green band on and around my arm. And people go, oh, what's that, Dave? Do you belong to a cult now? And I'm hearing that kind of garbage. But I still got to sleep sitting up for 3 more weeks. Can't lay on my back. Yeah, a lot of disadvantages here. So I'm done whining, but I'd love to be there because I need to get better trained. Absolutely. So how many times a year? You said 3 or 4?
Yeah, we're going to try to put it on at least once a quarter. So, and also if you want to reach out to me at AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com about training, you can reach out to me. We do have kind of a minimum amount of people that we need to be able to put on the course because, you know, I mean, everything's just getting more and more ridiculously expensive with gas. And we got to pull trailers. And, I mean, I've probably already spent $3,500 or up to $4,000 now on all the equipment. And it's every class, this money goes back into it to make the class much more exceptional. And honestly, you know, I'm using a lot of stuff that's called airsoft guns. And we're going to be doing a lot of what, when law enforcement, we call force-on-force training. So our students are actually going to be given the opportunity to put guns on their hips, to shoot little hard plastic pellets at each other, and get into a gunfight with each other and actually go through their basic fundamentals of marksmanship with a moving target that's shooting at you. And there's a tremendous amount of teachback that comes into that. And it's only something I can't talk about it and explain it over an interview. It's literally something I have to put my hands on it to talk about it. But trust me, man, this is the reason why law enforcement is as good as we are when it comes to these type of situations. And I'm trying to put the basic guy on the same level.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't have to worry about someone turning into Alec Baldwin, do we?
No. And there's going to be plenty of watchful eyes. You got plenty of pros there that are going to be watching out for any stupidity. And I don't put up with stupidity. I don't. This is literally only about self-preservation, self-defense, and the continuity of the American people, not the government, continuity of the American people. And what are we going to do? And Dave, let's talk about this for a second with continuity. When everything goes to hell, is the government coming to help you? No. When everything goes to hell and your water runs out, like the mega drought that has now been declared, who's coming to bring your water? Who's coming to tap that well? You know, who's coming to bring you food? It ain't the government. It's going to be you. You are your own self-defense. You are your own first responder, and you better learn how to self-rescue. And this is something that every man listening to my voice should learn these skills. And if you don't learn them from me, learn them from someone else. I don't care. But be an asset and not a liability. That's what I really want to harp on people. Be an asset, not a liability. Dave, I've got people who will reach out to me and will say, well, Doug, and you know, God bless people. You know, sometimes they're upset that they can't get up and go do a bunch of stuff. And I get that. But, you know, even for people who are wheelchair bound, there's skills you can learn. There's things you can do. You can still, you know, have a effective way of training and working out, even if you're wheelchair bound, even if you're hobbled. It's an excuse to not do it. Yeah. And you know, Dave, how many times have I said it? Get off your excuse and go do something. Go train. You know, go for a walk. You know, you can be an asset. You don't have to be the gunfighter. That's not for everybody. We don't need a tremendous amount of those people. If anything, I want more engineers and carpenters And the good old boys, like my neighbor, who's an AC repairman, but this dude can fix anything from air conditionings, welding, carpentry, electrician, to fixing the plumbing. I mean, that's skills that I never focused on. And now, you know, later in my adult years, I'm sitting here having to learn it. So, you know, if we went to a survival situation, like if we got into war with Russia and with China and we're affected here, you know who I want on my team? I want Mr. Fix-It-All, the jack of all trades. I want that guy. You know, no offense to all you lawyers, but I can't even get most of you guys to you know, use a shovel. So, you know, the world's going to be filled full of ties and white collars who are going to learn to have to get their hands dirty, or they're or be a liability. And nobody wants to be trudging along a bunch of liabilities. That's just the truth of it in a survival situation.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. You're going to have access to highlights of the conference at heroesnation.com. How's Tony going to file that? Is he going to file that under Doug and Dave Intel Report, or do you know?
I don't know yet, but I'll try and make sure that we get it out there as much as possible.
Okay, and since we're doing housekeeping here, real quick, just between you and me and, I don't know, 100,000 other people, I need you to send me our last interview with Mike Horn.
Roger.
Okay, all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we want to definitely share that with you. So, hey, I got something else I wanted to follow up with you on. You sent me something here. And I want to go to what you sent me, and I want to give this adequate coverage here. This was a text you sent me last Friday, and it says, from Law Enforcement Today, Kamala Harris and Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, caught hanging out with supporter of Iranian terrorist regime. That is true. I have confirmed that is true, but I'm not surprised. On my website, in a few different locations, I have published a photo from 2015 of Beto O'Rourke and Nancy Pelosi hanging out with Nieto. Now, who's Nieto? Former president of Mexico, who, according to court testimony, took a $100 million bribe to let the cartels have free reign with drugs. And it doesn't end there, ladies and gentlemen. We reported on this a couple of years ago. Nancy Pelosi traveled to Europe, and guess who she visited? El Chapo's wife. El Chapo's wife, Nancy Pelosi. Why would she do that? Interesting. Speaking of the Pelosi family, you know, I get your reaction to this. It's now been revealed that Paul Pelosi, when he had his drunk driving escapade, he actually had a female companion with him. Probably a hooker, and probably paid off to go away now. But she was hurt, by the way. That's the report. Now, that's a felony. Yet, Paul's not. By the way, I don't blame him for having a woman with him. Look at Nancy. But anyway, having said that, he's going to get away with a walk. And then I want to ask you this question too, Doug, and get your reaction to this. Merrick Garland came out today and told the DOJ that you are reminded you are not to talk to Congress. How is that even legal?
Well, to start with the Pelosi's, you know, that man more or less performed an attempted hit and run. And
bribery with the police officer. Here's money, let me go.
Yep. Oh, man, that pissed that state trooper off bad. He would not drop that case. And good on him. Finally, somebody is willing to stand up to the elite and to show them, Dave, they're not so elite after all. You know, it really comes down to this. It's rules for thee, but not for me. Could you imagine if the utility companies were as corrupt as our politicians were and could tell people, I'm shutting your power off because you vote a certain way. I'm shutting your water off because you vote a certain way. Do you know what would happen? the country would be in uproar. Congress would be signing bills and having petitions, and we'd have protests. But no, instead, Nancy Pelosi's husband can almost kill another guy by running into him while he's drunk and then walks. He didn't go to prison. This is whenever I was working as a corrections officer, that I saw drunk drivers who had killed somebody. So obviously, felony. They're in there for vehicular manslaughter and drinking and driving and all of the types of charges that comes with it. And they're doing 5 to 10 or more. Why didn't he get it? Well, rules for thee, but not for me. You know, eventually people aren't going to put up with that anymore. And I don't know what that world will look like when we eventually stop caring about what the politicians say. I can tell you this much. It's going to be dangerous. People are lulled to sleep by the crime, by the violence, by the backbiting and the betrayal of many of our politicians. I don't want to say most. I don't want to say all, because, you know, I want to say that there's some trust with very few. And I mean, I think I can count 5 of them as very few. But, you know, this stuff with Nancy Pelosi, I hope that the Republicans do make it, and that's if they do make it, that, you know, they will actually pursue the criminality that is Nancy Pelosi. Hey, did you hear that, you know, just recently, and I mean very much just recently, Joe Biden at a rally said that he hates, more or less, he hates the MAGA people. We're the biggest threat to the entire country, and that they're 2 Democratic seats away in the Senate from having the assault weapons ban passed.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, he also called us fascists, too. You know what? I better reinforce my door because the FBI will kick it down for saying this. I don't give a damn what Biden gets passed because Mitch McConnell's a traitor. He's under the control of communist China. His wife is linked family-wise to the CCP leadership, and McConnell's profiting from it. Merrick Garland is corrupt. They're all corrupt. Mm-hmm. All corrupt.
Yep.
Here's my answer. I don't give a damn what law they pass with regard to guns. Okay, good luck finding them. You will not find them, and I'm not surrendering them. I will not follow your rules. You know, this government is supposed to rule by the consent of the government. As of today, because of all the BS with Mar-a-Lago and everything else, I am withdrawing my consent.
Yep. I think, honestly, until the Republicans get their heads out of the sand, I'm not a Republican anymore. I am very much independent. I am what you would call freelance. Because I don't trust these people, Dave. I don't trust them.
No. That's why I called for the unelection of most of the incumbents that are Republican. They're rhinos. They're traitors. They're prostitutes that walk the same halls of Congress. They're prostitutes that drink from the same trough as the Democrats. There's no difference.
Oh, they're all buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all buddies. I listened to Trey Gowdy, whom I used to really respect and like. Trey Gowdy said, oh, you know, afterwards, we're all friends. We all go out to eat together. How can you sit there and you know, yell at another member of Congress and tell them how unconstitutional they are, that they're traitors, that they're X, Y, and Z, that, you know, they're horrible people, they shouldn't be in power, that they're all corrupt, and then you say, and you know what, let's go get us a Subway sandwich.
Yeah.
It's theater, man. It's theater. There's a few people out there, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is really putting her life on the line of speaking out and doing the right thing. You know, here's the bad thing, man. Where the hell did all the men go? We have a Representative Boebert of Colorado, another female, standing up for Second Amendment, standing up for the First Amendment, standing up for the American people. We've actually been in a lead of female Republican politicians in Congress and the Senate who have been doing the due diligence, and very few men seem to even care. I mean, absolutely could care less. That, to me, that's a judgment upon this nation. You know, our men have become like women in the midst of ourselves. And you know, I think this new generation that we have right now, what a horrible time, you know, to be coming into this country. But we need a new group of people to lead us out of this darkness. And first and foremost, if they're not led by Christ, I wouldn't vote for them, period. We need to stop voting for people who are these pretend fake Christians, because they do not have your best interests at heart. At this point, most of our politicians, you could probably find them within the courts of Nero, within the courts of Pharaoh. These are not American patriots like what you think that they say they are. Oh, sure, they'll put the American flag on. Sure, they'll go out to, you know, anyone who is in the armed services who's died over in war and coming over, and they'll salute. And, you know, they'll get their 2 minutes of fame. But these people aren't out there fighting for us the way that they should be. If it was, this country would look very different. But this country is not. It doesn't feel that free anymore. That's the growing consensus, and I think it's worrying for a lot of people.
Yeah,
because what's November going to hold?
Nothing. Nothing. They're going to cheat their way into victory, and if they can't, they'll false flag their way into not having an election. That's my call. There's got to be a flashpoint where people stand up. Listen, we've won the information battle. When I started this business, there wasn't 2% of the country that knew what was going on. Today, I'd say that number is 40 to 50% of people know how criminal their government is. And I'd say 10 to 20% understand that there's traitors running our government with regard to China. So I would say this, Doug, to you in the form of a question, and we got about 1 minute to answer this. What's the flashpoint going to be to get people to wake the hell up and say no more?
I think the flashpoints have already happened. I think they've already happened. January 6th, the stealing of the election. How about the fact that the federal government, the DHS, the FBI, the White House will say that if you don't agree with us, you're a terrorist? There's your flashpoint. Could you imagine if the first Congress had said that about the man who just got done fighting, or the second or third Congress said that to the man who had just got done fighting the British? The war would be on again.
Yeah, but I agree with you with awareness. But when do people stand up and say no more? We're not following your laws. We're not paying your taxes. In fact, in San Francisco, some of the business leaders got together and they told the city and county, "We're not paying your taxes until you fix the crime problem." So that taxpayer rebellion is where it needs to start. And I think they anticipate that, which is why they have 87,000 IRS agents. But, Doug, there's got to be something that people do collectively to say, we're not putting up with your BS any longer.
People won't disconnect from the government. They won't disconnect from their daily lives. Hey, it's just like whenever I was in law enforcement, I was getting out. People were asking me, why are you getting out? And I told them my reasons. They all agreed with me. They all said, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I had a fallback. But people are stuck in the retirement. Oh, I got to, you know, hey, 10 years and I would have had a cushy retirement. 10 years. I passed that up. We have a lot of people, good American patriotic men and women, who won't pass that up. So at what point in time do American men and women say the pension's not worth it, the corporate job's not worth it, the take-home ride's not worth it, freedom is worth it? But as long as the internet's on, as long as you can watch HBO and the Super Bowl, people are entertained. That is the danger right now. Rome is burning around us, and we want bread and circus.
Yeah, that's true. Doug, we're just about out of time. Doug's headed out to the conference at the Griswold Camp, I like to call it. We've given out that number. If you live within driving distance, you still can go and register and go get this great training. Doug, tell people quickly how to follow your good work. Of course, we do Doug and Dave Intel Report on the CommonSenseShow.tv, last day for our special. You can sign up today and get in at the existing rate. But where else do you appear?
So I'm on YouTube for now. Also on Rumble, GSRadio.net, KYH 540 AM radio, and on Heroes Nation app. And I just got onto Spreaker, so hopefully the podcast will grow into some other different areas as well. And Brighteon, just started a channel on Brighteon. So follow me if you feel like it.
What are your hours on Brighteon?
I just started. So, I mean, as soon as I get back from this training, I got to start loading up stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the Common Sense Show on this day. And we thought we'd get a report from Doug on the Doug and Dave Intel Report here as to what's happening, kind of a current events update, and to update you on the fact that there is training. Because, unfortunately, I don't want this, but Civil War looks like it's coming. You better get ready. Thanks, Doug.